Would he be better at Manchester United than Solskjaer?
Well, I'm only giving you my opinion. I believe so.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
Alexander Arnold whips it in. Alisson scores! Unbelievable! The goalkeeper has scored in the 94th minute! You've never seen anything like it! Alisson for Liverpool to keep alive their top four hopes, and nobody can quite believe what they have seen! West Brom 1, Liverpool 2, you're not mishearing me! The goalkeeper, Alisson, heads into the back of the net! Wow! A goal from the gods by Alisson!
Nathan Murphy, how is the voice this morning?
Hanging in there, just about hanging in there. May have lost the run of myself there.
Ah, you're well within your rights to lose the run of yourself there. You literally say in commentary you haven't seen anything like this. It was right up there as one of the most extraordinary things we've ever seen in the Premier League.
In the early sport, Tiger Woods 2005 and the 16th at Augusta, it's the same stuff. Now they've got to qualify for the Champions League, obviously.
I think that's the one caveat you would put on this. That goal will gain in folklore if Liverpool go on and win their last two games and finish inside the top four because of what it will mean to the club. And if they can go on a run in the Champions League, people will constantly go back. If they don't beat Burnley or Crystal Palace and they miss out, it'll be one of those moments, I think, that Liverpool fans will probably be mocked for in years to come as to how they celebrated it at the time. But I think it was one of those great goals because it was so unexpected. There's times in matches late in games where you're expecting a team to grab a goal, where they're laying siege on the opposition and you just feel one's coming. That wasn't the case yesterday. Liverpool were done. They had thrown everything at West Brom in the first 75, 80 minutes and it felt like they'd nothing left in the tank in the last 5-10 minutes into injury time. It was past 94. You're just looking at Mike Dean, the referee, to blow the whistle and you're writing off Liverpool's Champions League hopes. You're looking at their season in a totally different way as one of real failure. And then out of nothing for the goalkeeper. First time in Liverpool's history, a goalkeeper has scored for the club. And to do it at a moment of such importance, I know there have been goals from goalkeepers in the Premier League before, six of them, but none of them have been like that. And in some ways, the stats probably show the folly of sending your goalkeeper up because I think it was the first time a goalkeeper ever scored a header in the Premier League. But what a header it was as well. And I think what made it also was instantly you could tell what it meant to Alisson. Obviously, there's no fans in the stadium, so he's not running down to find the away supporters. But the way that he reacted was everything that has happened to him over the past 3 months with the passing of his father just came straight away. And also the delight that all his teammates clearly had, not just for the goal, but for him personally. So, yeah, it was a very special moment and one that we probably won't see again, that sort of drama.
You said in commentary it was a goal from the gods, which was kind of this haunting thing because Alisson would go on to say basically the exact same thing in his post-match interview. Was that a reference to Alisson's own year or was it just kind of like spur-of-the-moment stuff?
I presume it's spur-of-the-moment stuff. I was off my seat at that stage and that's the brilliant thing about a goal like that. You suddenly find yourself and you're jumping around the commentary booth and Vinnie Perth was next door and he had smashed his knee off the commentary booth and part of you wishes that, you know, you could be there and a moment like that if you were in the stadium would be a very different thing, but I think it's the only reaction. It was just such a unexpected moment and I think you could tell instantly what it meant to Alisson for him personally, even more than what it meant for Liverpool and keeping them in that race for the top four. And it's been such a strange season in a way. It's been one of the more dull Premier League seasons, particularly the last few months where we knew Manchester City were going to win the title, where we knew relegation was done and dusted. If this was all that was left and if Liverpool hadn't scored that goal, the top four race was done as well. We were heading into the final week of the season with really nothing at stake. So for that reason as well, it is a big, big moment in the season. And it's just a shame really it wasn't 2-3 days later where you would have had 8,000 in the stadium at least and heading to Anfield next Sunday for Liverpool against Crystal Palace. But yeah, I think that's one that will stick with people for a long, long time. In 10 years, people will still be looking back on that goal.
The top four race is where it's at. Like, I mean, this is the situation that often materializes late in the season where you've got multiple teams going for the same thing and you get a proper race for it. Like, what's your sense on how this is going to go? Like, surely Saturday afternoon should be should provide as much hope for Liverpool fans as anything else.
I think it does, because you're looking at Saturday and you can read whatever way you want. Do Leicester take the momentum of the cup final and go beat Chelsea, which would guarantee Leicester top four? I mean, Chelsea are really on the back seat heading into the final day. Or have Leicester celebrated and Chelsea come out with a little bit of fight tomorrow and they turn it around completely? Whatever happens, it's going to go to the final day of the season. The problem for Liverpool is you couldn't trust Liverpool to go and win these final two games. Constantly throughout the last 4 or 5 months as they've collapsed, there have been moments where there have been sparks and you think this is them coming back to not where they were last season, but a team that can finish top four. They went and beat Manchester United, ripped Manchester United apart at times on Thursday night, and you think, three games, okay, potential banana skins, but the momentum that they have now and their back scoring goals, surely they kick on from here. And yesterday again, wasteful in front of goal, a mess at the back at times, and they go to Burnley on Wednesday. Burnley have already beaten them at Anfield this season, and then Crystal Palace on the final day of the season with Roy Hodgson, possibly his final game as a manager. See, they beat Palace 7-0 at Selhurst Park at Christmas. You'd expect there to be a reaction. Liverpool should win these two games, but there's been little over the last 3 or 4 months to suggest that they will do it easily. And I think if you're a Liverpool supporter, this is going to be an incredibly nervous week. But things may work out in their favour if Chelsea have this late season collapse.
What is the truth about where Liverpool are at? Because Thursday looked as if Liverpool were getting ready to launch a title challenge again next year with maybe some of the performances that they had and some of the players who have yet to come back. And then yesterday, 26 shots they had against West Brom, and obviously needing their goalkeeper to score in the last minute. That's very indicative of the thing that has held them back over the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, yesterday summed up the problems that they have. Obviously, a huge gap in the heart of the defence when they're without four centre-backs at this stage. And Nat Phillips has had a good run, but he's not at a top Premier League level. And Reece Williams is a young kid who at times has looked completely out of depth. And the two of them together, combined, hasn't been pretty for Liverpool. So that's going to be something that continues for the next two games. Chris Wood is going to be licking his lips for Burnley ahead of that match on Wednesday. Christian Benteke has suddenly found a little bit of form, has a good record against Liverpool. So Liverpool are going to concede over the next couple of games. And then at the other end, maybe that's the bigger question. Are those players a little bit fatigued? So they're missing simple opportunities that they would otherwise put away. Like, you think back to Mane's chance when Liverpool are trying to equalise. He's 10 yards out and somehow he side-foots it wide. Firmino, when he hits the post, where he simply has to just side-foot it into the back of the net. And in the second half, again, the opportunity for Salah when he's clear through. These are big opportunities that Liverpool were taking constantly last season. So is that because they're out of form, because they're fatigued, and a summer off means they come back in August completely rejuvenated? Or have they just been there that little bit too long? Do they need a spark, something to freshen them up? Like Mane and Salah, like, their body language is shocking. Like, there is no warmth there whatsoever. Yesterday, Mane has the assist for Salah. Like, there's a bit of a celebration. There was the reverse last week, but at no stage do you see a real apology if one of them plays a bad ball. They can barely look at each other at times, it feels. So how long can they leave that to continue? And if one is to go, Salah's the one who's obviously far more valuable, but Salah's also the one who's top scorer in the Premier League. And Liverpool players constantly go on about Mane's work rate and Firmino's on-scene work. Salah's the genius of that front three. Salah is the once-in-a-generation type player that you can't replace. It's almost impossible, yeah, unless they're going to go and spend the 100 million on somebody that you're going to replace Mo Salah. You can get somebody in who could do a job like Sadio Mane. And Firmino hasn't been at it for two seasons at this stage. Like, they've changed it for the last, really since after half an hour against United, they've gone with more of a 4-3-1-2. So Firmino playing as a 10 and Mane and Salah up front together rather than out in the wings. And it's meant that Salah's gotten the ball an awful lot more. The more Salah gets on the ball, the better Liverpool are, because technically he is their best player, maybe with the exception of Thiago in the middle of midfield. But from the attacking three, he's the one who creates everything. And like, if Mane's work rate isn't what it was, he's always been a funny finisher. He's never been the most technically gifted finisher. Everything seems to sort of bobble in off. Hasn't stopped him scoring a load of goals. But I think they have big decisions to make. And that's why the next week is huge. Because you'd imagine the conversations you're in around who you're going to sign are completely different if you're not inside the top four.
Champions League. Yeah, so Colin, what's going to happen?
It's hard to believe that Liverpool won't reach the top four after that moment yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if Leicester went to beat Chelsea tomorrow night, and if Liverpool ended up drawing with Burnley, and then somehow, I don't know, goes to the final day and there's a bit more magic and drama. I think it'll be Leicester and Liverpool will be the top four. But to be quite honest, I wouldn't be surprised with anything that happens from all three clubs over the next few days. I would love to see Leicester finish in the top four after what happened on Saturday in particular, and you see what sort of a club they are. I'd love them to do it so they can keep the best players. I'd love them to keep Youri Tielemans and Ndidi in the middle of midfield, and to keep Fofana and Soyuncu at the back and bring back James Justin. I think that could be a really exciting team over the next few years. And we'll be looking at Thomas Tuchel and Chelsea in a completely different way if this week next week goes badly wrong for them.
Well, okay, just very quickly, because we're nearly out of time, but in the instance where Leicester finished third and Liverpool finished fourth, then all of a sudden, every Liverpool fan in the world is cheering on Man City, because I don't know if I'm right here, but if Chelsea win...
If Chelsea win and they finish inside the top four, there won't be a fifth spot, but if Chelsea finish fifth and they win the Champions League, there will be five.
And United win Europa League?
It makes no difference. So the only way there can be a fifth or sixth team is if it is the winning team in the Champions League or Europa League final and they finish outside the top four.
Okay,
what happens, there's no way Liverpool or Leicester can qualify for the Champions League unless they finish inside the top four.
It's on, Nathan.
There's no way they can't not qualify if they finish in the top four.
Yeah. Yeah, if they finish in the top four, they're going to qualify for the Champions League. No question about that. And it's looking like it's on. I mean, it's what a week. Like even like we were talking about this earlier, Nathan. Like the sort of image that we now have of Thomas Tuchel, it's just shifted just a little bit, or at least of that Chelsea squad and what they might be able to do next season.
That's been this season, though, hasn't it? There's been so many matches. Every game is on TV. You sort of decide and make a big decision on what you feel about a club. Like look at Manchester United. Mm. Week on week, it changes from progress to actually they're as far away from ever. I think next season it might be different because I presume we're going to go back to not having every single match on television, and maybe that's a good thing. And yeah, we can sort of pause for breath at some stage and not make wild predictions of what's going to happen.
We're still going to do that. We're still going to make wild predictions of what is going to happen throughout the season. Nathan Murphy, great stuff. Congratulations on a piece of art yesterday.
Thanks, Owen.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.